morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Welcome back to another show. Again, if you are listening at this time on a Saturday morning, it's obviously too late or coming up into the final half hour of you going to the farmer's market there at Artovino's. But there are talks that the Master Gardeners host every Saturday at 8:30. Bill, you had hosted one just a couple of weeks ago on tomatoes. And we've got a schedule of all the Master Gardener talks there at the Artovino's Farmer's Market at ktep.org. But that Farmer's Market is going to be going on through mid-October every Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 12 noon. And Bill, you were saying last week that the produce is starting to multiply a little bit more.
Quite a bit of produce. There are six or so. So people that are bringing produce now, so the varieties are different, different choices, and there are a lot of people that have some crafts there. There are some new people out there. It's really a lot of fun to go out there. The Artovino's people provide food and drink possibilities for you, so it really is a lot of fun. I know a lot of people are starting to come at 7.
To
avoid the heat, particularly the hardcore vegetable buyers, because if they come at after 10, maybe it's gone.
That's a good idea.
So I encourage people to come a little early, but it is a lot of fun.
But even if you do miss the garden talks at 8:30, the Master Gardeners do have an educational table, an information table at the stand as well. So they'll be able to be there to answer any questions that you have on gardening.
Bring sample problems, bring sample plants. That's why we're there.
And Denise, next week there's going to be a workshop that is going to be taking place on July the 12th in case maybe people are interested in growing their own herbs.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That workshop's filling up quick because people are really interested as far as gardening. Of course, that's a great thing, but also culinary herbs. I mean, even purchasing herbs in the store, that can become really pricey. And if you know which plants to be able to grow in your own patio or your own backyard, that's going to really save you some time and some money as well. And maybe even want to experiment with some different kind of dishes using different types of spices or herbs.
Right. Denise, is arugula an herb? Would be considered an herb?
Arugula would be an herb.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's your leaf portion of that.
Does that mean lettuce is an herb too?
Well, no, because that has more of a spicy,
more of a mustardy,
mustardy it's a taste on there.
It's a particular taste, not
But I'm just wondering if it's kind of leafy. I just thought maybe lettuce would fall into the same category.
Exactly. No, leaf would be a vegetable. But a lot of times, a lot of these salad components do have different types of herbs. Right. Sometimes even mint added to them, and that's kind of gives it those little undertones.
I've grown arugula in the past, and I couldn't even give it away. So a little bit of arugula goes a long way.
You know, I have fennel growing in my backyard right now, and actually my husband wanted to grow fennel, and then I let it go to seed by mistake, and I had so many volunteer plants come up, so I'm about up to my ears with fennel.
And I was that way with arugula. I had 3-foot arugulas.
Oh my gosh.
So it can be a lot of fun.
So this workshop is happening this coming Friday, July the 12th. And again, registration is recommended, especially like you said, that workshop is going to be filling up quickly. And there is a cost associated with the workshop. But the nice thing is that participants will be able to take home some little project that
they will actually assemble the container themselves. We will provide all materials and supplies for that, and they'll be able to take that home at the end of the workshop. So that's a really great component to get your hands dirty and learn. I mean, I think it's just a great way of promoting our workshops.
We'll have that information at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page if you're interested in registering. And you can also call the radio station for more information. Now, another big project here that's coming up is the Master Gardener Workshop. You're already accepting applications, is that correct?
Yes, we're looking for our fall Master Gardener training.
Master Gardener training, that's
right. We do that every fall. And this year it's going to run from September the 12th through November the 21st. We meet on Thursdays, all day events from 8 to 4. So that way people can kind of start planning and see if that's something that they'd like to do. The application is online and we are receiving those. And the deadline to turn in your application is August the 20th. And then we'll be able to start our classes soon thereafter. The cost for the training is $185, but that includes all materials that you'll need for the class. It is a 50-hour classroom component to it. You know, those Thursdays add up during the fall. And then there is another volunteer component to do 60 hours of volunteer service at approved AgriLife Extension events and programs that we do have in order to become a certified master gardener. And Bill, you know that that's not just a once and forever title that you carry.
Right. There is you need to recertify every year and get a minimum amount of additional educational hours and exposure. And it's just a great program. And so many people that I talk to say, oh, once I retire, I'll do this. And I'm looking forward to it. And put me on the list. So there's a lot of, I think the word is spreading because it's a great program.
And like you were saying, Bill, it does seem like the majority of the master gardeners, if not all of them, are of retirement age.
I would say probably 80% are, but there are a few really younger, quite a few younger people, particularly in the most recent class. But generally speaking, it's people that have the total flexibility to come and go exactly when they want to. There are a number of people in the program who work full time, and some of them have families and all kinds of configurations. But it just attracts a wide variety of people.
Right. And this is just really one of our educational opportunities as well. You don't have to be a master gardener to gardener. That's always been what I feel on that. So the master gardener program may not be for everyone because it is
That's
intensive.
True. Right.
But we do have a series of different events, you know, that come in that are seasonal, whether it's, you know, workshops or talks and whatnot. And I think that's really where people, the do-it-yourselfer, the working person that, you know, has those Saturday mornings free or some evenings to be able to really benefit from our programs that we do have from Extension and also volunteer-led.
And outside of this class, we do a lot of outreach and teach a lot of different aspects like the container gardening that we talked on herbs last week. Right. So there's a lot of opportunities for people to come learn.
I mean, the Master Gardener presence is actually really extensive because they volunteer. If, for example, if maybe people attended the native plant sale and they bought a lot of plants there, and a lot of Master Gardeners were there, I'm sure, to help people with their plant selection. Master Gardeners have their information booths at the Artovinos Desert Crossing Farmers Market. You have a presence at Ascariti Park where you've got that demonstration garden too.
Right, exactly. That is one of our vegetable demonstration gardens that is Master Gardener-led. It is at the county park, and Master Gardeners are out there every Thursday morning, and they're out there tending these raised beds. The configuration of that garden is kind of set up like what a community garden would be, or with a series of different raised beds using different types of materials. And that's really lends itself to be that resource center where the public can come and see what it is that's involved in making a raised bed, or even for our school gardening programs where teachers and educators can go out there and see, oh, this is what we need. These are the nuts and bolts that go into a type of raised garden bed, and then take that back to campus administrators or other leaders that are going to make those final decisions. I think it's important not just to have the information pamphlets and talks and lectures, but also being able to have that visual opportunity to do that walkthrough.
And that's a great layout there. It lends itself toward attracting the public and viewing the examples that we show them.
Right, exactly. So I encourage you all to stop by and visit the Master Gardeners. They're out there, like I said, Thursday mornings, and look out for our calendar of events as well, because we'll have a series of educational outreach programs at the park itself.
So, say visitors want to go and visit the demonstration garden there at Ascariti Park. Would people have to make an appointment, or do they just show up on Thursdays?
I would recommend that they show up on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. That's where they'll have somebody be able to guide them. And it's pretty much a self-walking tour, but you'll also have access to Master Gardeners to be able to ask additional questions. And they also have a small setup as well with our common publications to answer those questions, like our planting calendar as well. So definitely, it's always best to go when there's Master Gardeners there, because you really need more information once you go out there. There's a lot of questions once you're out there. And it's just like I encourage people to go out to the Rose Garden when there's Master Gardener presence out there, because there's not that one consistent park staff that's out there at one particular place. Right. So just like in the Rose Garden, same goes for the Vegetable Garden at Ascariti.
Again, the Master Gardeners also have a presence at the Rose Garden, like you were saying. And Bill, you work that Rose Garden pretty intensively during the year.
Right. This is a slow time of the year because it's just so hot and the plants are struggling a little bit. But we're already planning for the September-October Bloom Fest because they just seem to come back to life once it cools off a little bit and the humidity increases. And hopefully we'll see some major water falling out of the sky here this year.
Right. And with the hot and dry temperatures, we have a lot of pest issues coming in at all different gardens.
Right. And that reminds me, we've had some very interesting calls at our hotline. They've really centered around pests and, of course, water. People are calling about their trees. They've never noticed, but they're stressed. They're losing their needles. In the case of a lot of pine trees that are stressed right now. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they are water-related issues. And there are a lot of aphids around. Our general response is hard spray of water will usually take care of them. And there are a lot of mites around on the Italian cypress and on the junipers. So just go out and look. If it looks bad, take a real close look, maybe even with a magnifying glass, and see if you can see the insects. The spider mites are very small. The aphids are a little bit easier to see, but they can be small also.
And they like to be under the leaves of the plants for the most part. So make sure you always want to
turn the leaf over.
And with the spider mites, I don't think you have to look for the bug. If you see that webbing.
The webbing, yeah.
I think that's enough to tell you. And even if it's old webbing.
Right.
You know, because I know a lot of people may have some webbing left over from, you know, weeks or months ago that they never took care of.
That is true, particularly on the Italian cypress.
Yeah.
Because the dust blows in March and in April, mm-hmm. and then it gathers on the webs, and that's what they see now is really the dirt and all that's catching on the webs. So it's not new. And the spider mites may have actually already left or been burned away, but you see the evidence right now. That's why the water works so well.
And I don't even think you need to necessarily treat the water. You hear about people who want to put soapy water perhaps in with or to mix some soap into that water stream that they're spraying. But I think just the water will be just fine, correct?
I would say, generally speaking, it might take 2 or 3 applications, I think the soap probably helps a little bit, but it's more difficult to apply the soap because what's the strength I use? Mm-hmm. Do I have a sprayer? Just put a hard spray on your hose and you can use the water. So it's much, much easier to do that way there's no instructions necessary. Just you might have to do it 2 or 3 times.
Well, we're just about out of time for today's show, but we do want to let you know that if you have any questions about pests in your garden or about any other plant issues, you may call the Master Gardener Hotline at 566-1276, 566-1276, just another service that the Master Gardeners provide for the community. And if you're interested in signing up for that Master Gardener class, if it's something that you think that may be a good fit for your Thursdays for volunteering to educate the community, we encourage you to sign up to become a Master Gardener. And we'll have that information for you on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.